The following program is produced and paid for by Temple Emmanuel.
What?
I know how we can run everybody out of Rock Reach.
How?
We'll kill the firstborn male child in every household.
Too Jewish.
Shalom, and welcome to the Too Jewish Radio Show with Rabbi Sam Kohan and friends, a weekly serving of everything Jewish. We'll have a great hour together of news, music, comedy, and conversation. Our guest this morning is Rabbi Harold Kushner, the world-famous author of When Bad Things Happen to Good People, whose newest book is Conquering Fear, Living Boldly in an Uncertain World. We'll also have visits from our Too Jewish expert on the international scene, Tom Price, and our maven on Israel, Guy Gelbert, as well as a special visit from Neil Goldberg, creator of the Cirque Dreams shows. Please email your comments to us at TooJewishRadio@yahoo.com or visit us on the web at TooJewishRadio.com. Too Jewish is sponsored this morning by Temple Emmanuel, a Reformed Jewish community for all of Tucson. Call 327-4501 for information on Arizona's finest synagogue, the only full-service Reform congregation in southern Arizona. And now, here's Rabbi Sam Kohan and Too Jewish.
Shalom and happy Hanukkah, Chag Hanukkah Sameach. This is the fourth day of the Great Festival of Lights, which makes tonight the fifth night. If you are in southern Arizona, join us tonight for the greatest Hanukkah on Earth show at 4:30 at Temple Emmanuel. And it's a time of great joy and celebration for Jews everywhere. As one of the longest Jewish festivals, 8 full nights and 8 full days, it carries the notion of an extended party about as far as it realistically can go. And so, to get us in the festive mood this morning, here's the very silly hip-hop rapper Eric Schwartz, the Smooth E, singing Hanukkah Heya.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
My dreidel just spins around and then falls to the ground as we light the candles.
Oy!
I love to light menorahs and the matzah balls are cooking on the stove. Ceiling, but the candle dripping, burning me right now.
So,
thank God for mom and dad for teaching Jewish culture, cause we are so proud.
L'chaim.
All those fluffy lacquers, they're hot, I wanna eat them till there's nothing at all. We get the presents, oh, we get the presents, and 8 is always better than 3 from Santa Claus. If what they say is,
we're the chosen people,
then what makes, 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 then what makes us the exception? Don't know why, know why, oh why, oh why, oh why.
Oy.
Run and call your rabbi so that you can celebrate this year.
Oi, it's just yo backwards.
Hanukkah. Why don't you meet my rabbi?
Hanukkah.
He isn't such a bad guy.
Hanukkah.
It wouldn't be a bummer.
Hanukkah.
If you want to wear your makkah.
That gets us going this Hanukkah morning with a, Hanukkah rap. We're in the middle of the 8-day Festival of Lights and Dedication, every kid's favorite festival, a time for family, food, Chanukiot, that is Hanukkah menorahs, the candelabra, and of course, presents. As an educated Jew and, of course, a rabbi, I realize that the traditional observance of the festival includes the lighting of candles, daily prayers of thanksgiving, all manner of fried foods, as well as the inspirational story of the victory of the Maccabees over Syrian Greek oppressors more than 2,000 years ago, and the giving of coins as Hanukkah gelt, often chocolate coins. I know as well that giving presents is borrowed from the American commercial culture in which we all live so successfully, and that you can actually have a wonderful Hanukkah without giving lots of blue and white wrapped presents that people don't really need. I also know that most of us who have kids end up pretty firmly ensconced on the present-buying track, at least until they quit asking for dolls and footballs and video games and start asking for cold, hard cash. and is a firm believer in the concept of Chidur Mitzvah, beautifying and embellishing and celebrating the sacred acts we are commanded by God to fulfill, I have to admit that I have overindulged my children and even my wife on an annual basis every single Chanukah. In fact, each year, Wendy and I vow that we will cut back significantly on the present giving excess, and each year we try valiantly and somehow end up with dozens of gifts to wrap and decorate, far more than the 8 presents for 8 nights that the songs celebrate. In fact, we are a little embarrassed about this. After all, the message of Chanukah is dedication to God and Judaism and Torah, the miraculous victory of the few over the many, the weak over the strong, the triumph of religious freedom over harsh repression. It is not the victory of the many presents over the few presents, or the expensive electronic ones over the traditional ones, or the triumph of the retailer over common sense and reasonable restraint. But human nature being what it is, somehow, when we start to get stuff for our kids, we just can't help ourselves. There's an old Yiddish expression, for the kinder. That is, if it's for the kids, you pretty much will do anything. Perhaps what we really need is a mythical present giver to assist us, as those clever Christians have had all along. In that spirit, Eric Schwartz offers some help.
This is Copter 1 reporting a large flying object. Looks like a bird carrying presents. And appears to be wearing a yarmulke?
It's time to light the menorah, see, while the majority are eating fruitcake with Santa. I'm dancing the horror, we feeling so horribly, cause Santa ignoring me. Touring globally, but ain't got nothing for poor old me. But that's enough to make a kid blow out the candles. Jealousy, no tree, and nothing on my mantle. I had 8 presents, but not one from the claws. So heap hoppers, listen up, here's one who's down for the cause. The Hanukkah bird, the Hanukkah bird. You heard my words, even though they sound absurd. You can recognize him from his blue and white turd. Flies around the world and best believe he's insured. Don't be scared, all of your worries are cured. He drops off the presents on the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd nights to the 8th flights from the North Pole.
Wrong.
He's a Jewish bird, his home's in Boca Raton.
Who's that knocking on the door with his beak? 8 days a week, he's so unique. He's the Hanukkah bird, the Hanukkah bird. He's the Hanukkah bird, the Hanukkah bird.
You heard?
Who's that knocking on the door with his beak? 8 days a week, he's such a freak.
That's probably enough Chanukah hip-hop for one morning on Too Jewish, but you have to admit, that Eric Schwartz guy is pretty clever. A Jewish Chanukah bird who brings Chanukah presents and lives not at the North Pole, but in very Jewish Boca Raton. Love it. In any case, with all the presents and latkes, the actual meaning of the word Chanukah is dedication. And it's that concept that is truly central to Chanukah, dedication and commitment. Dedication to our ideals. Good stuff, any time of year, no matter how many layers of wrapping paper we can seal it in. On the subject of commitment, Rabbi Harold Kushner has written 12 books that have helped literally millions of people cope with the most serious challenges in life. The loss of loved ones, the frustrations of failure, the absence of meaning in their lives. His works have given many the courage to embrace the beauty and goodness of life in spite of its traumas, and he is here with us this morning, exploring his new book, Conquering Fear. Discover what Harold Kushner has to say about the state of our own emotional worlds when we return in a few moments on Too Jewish.
Safety. It's a word we take for granted at home and at the workplace, but sometimes safety isn't a sure thing. Environmental Strategies, Inc. is an environmental remediation company that's been promoting safe living in Arizona since 1989. Environmental Strategies specializes in asbestos and lead abatement, mold remediation, and industrial cleaning. In addition, they have a building and remodeling division that makes it convenient for clients to get all their services from one contractor. Environmental Strategies jobs range from seam tape removal in a single-family home to insulation removal in a Challenger Learjet aircraft and everything in between. So, if you're in need of asbestos or lead removal, mold remediation, industrial cleaning, or top-notch general contracting services, call Environmental Strategies today at 884-1114. Estimates and bids are free and confidential. Ken Goodman is the president, and he'd love to talk with you about your project. Environmental Strategies, serving all of Arizona since 1989. Call 884-1114.
Hi, Joe Spina, Mama's Pizza. I was out and about the other day and noticed one of my favorite ice cream stores was out of business. Not only did it depress me because I was in the mood for mint chocolate chip, but it also got me to thinking, how does a hometown restaurant survive these days in a city changing as fast as Tucson? I mean, we got stores being forced out with big rents and huge chains coming in with even huger advertising budgets. It seems to me a place like Tucson kind of starts to lose its individuality. But don't lose faith. At Mama's, we're still your neighborhood pizza restaurant. If you've got a request or a problem, you don't need to call some fancy office in California. You just call Vinny or me or one of the kids, and you're at the top. I'm not kidding. At Mama's, we have great tasting food at hometown prices, and we always will. Mama's Pizza with four convenient locations. Now repeat after me. Mama's Pizza.
The greatest Hanukkah on earth is coming up fast. It's coming to Temple Emmanuel, Sunday, December 5th at 4:30 p.m. Join us for the largest, best, and most enjoyable Hanukkah celebration of all, featuring a wonderful array of music, theater, dance, stories, and magic. Hanukkah comes to life at the Temple's 12th Annual Festival of Lights as never before. Start by helping light the giant outdoor menorah on Country Club Road at 4:30 p.m. Then rejoice with the Avanim Rock Band, the Tucson Girls Chorus, Temple Emmanuel Youth and Teen Choirs, Rabbi Sam Kohan, and an array of great performers. Bring a menorah and six candles as we light up the night in a gorgeous finale that'll make this the most memorable Hanukkah celebration ever. The Hanukkah event is open to all. It's co-sponsored by KGUN9 TV. If you want to join us for a great traditional brisket and latke dinner afterwards, call the Temple at 520-327-4501 and make a reservation with your credit card. Remember, the show's free, but call to come for dinner. That's Sunday, December 5th, beginning at 4:30 p.m. The centennial edition of the greatest Hanukkah on Earth, 12, at Temple Emmanuel. Call 520-327-4501.
We are delighted to welcome the Two Jewish, our very special guest this morning, Rabbi Harold Kushner. He is the famed author of When Bad Things Happen to Good People and 11 other books. His most recent is Conquering Fear, Living Boldly in an Uncertain World. He has helped not only thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions, deal with the most challenging issues in life. Good morning.
Hello there and good morning. It's nice to be in touch. Your listeners may not know this. Tucson is one of my favorite places in the country. We vacation there every winter.
You know, it's exactly the right time not to be in Massachusetts and exactly the right time to be in the Southwest.
We caught on to that.
You're wise in many, many ways. Would you talk a little bit about what led you to write Conquering Fear, your newest book?
It was the same reason that motivates me to write all my books. I listen to people. I speak on my previous book and deal with questions afterwards. I hear what people are concerned about, listen to the radio and see what people who call in have to say. And I found that a lot of people are scared of the future. They're really feeling very insecure. They think they're worried about the possibility that terrible things might happen to them personally, sickness, disruption of the family, unemployment, poverty. They're worried things might happen in the country, another terrorist attack. They just are not able to enjoy life the way I think we should be entitled to enjoy life. I connected that to I would call it a trivial fact, except nothing about the Bible is trivial. The obscure fact that fear not is the sentence most often spoken by God in the Bible.
Altira.
Altira. I didn't know that. Somebody pointed out to me, I checked the concordance, absolutely right. As if God were saying to us in every single generation, it is a scary world out there. I can understand why you'd be afraid. Please know that there are resources within you and resources around you to help you cope with those fears. Stay alert, be apprehensive, but there's no reason to be frightened. A couple of years ago, you may remember, there was an otherwise forgettable movie called Defending Your Life. I think Albert Brooks were in it. The point of the movie was, the purpose of life is not to be moral, but to learn to overcome fear. Once you learn to overcome fear, then you're ready to be promoted to the next level of existence. The implication being, I don't think the theology too seriously, but that's not what I go to movies for. The implication being that you cannot enjoy life the way God intended for us to enjoy life if you go around scared all the time. Whether it's, you look at the fuss now about the the screening of airline passengers. I fly a lot. It's part of my job. It is terribly discouraging to have to go through this, but what happens is it's a way of responding and inculcating fears. It reminds us that every time we want to get on an airplane that there are people out there who want to destroy us, and all that does is feed into our sense of apprehension. Life is less enjoyable, and that's sad.
Well, I'm going to ask Rabbi Harold Kushner to keep teaching us how not to be afraid and why life should be enjoyed and not sort of suffered when we come back on Too Jewish.
Choosing the proper care for your mother, father, or other loved one isn't easy. David Shackman and his wife Ann are New Yorkers who recently found a home at Handmaker, Tucson's premier provider of assisted living and senior care.
I'm 88 years old. My wife is 86. And we like staying at Handmaker because people here are very courteous and the atmosphere is nice.
Well, I like the program here because they have entertainers, have a bingo. They made a luau with Hawaiian dances.
Handmaker gives their son, Ken, peace of mind.
I know that they are going to get good service and the staff will treat them as friends.
Handmaker, centrally located on Rosemont just south of Grant, includes one and two bedroom suites, cozy studios with patios and balconies, and Tucson's most caring staff. Call 881-2323.
The food here is excellent. It's as good as any good restaurant in New York City.
For a consultation and tour, call 881-2323 or go to handmaker.org.
The greatest Hanukkah on Earth is coming up fast. It's coming to Temple Emmanuel, Sunday, December 5th at 4:30 p.m. Join us for the largest, best, and most enjoyable Hanukkah celebration of all, featuring a wonderful array of music, theater, dance, stories, and magic. Hanukkah comes to life at the Temple's 12th Annual Festival of Lights as never before. Start by helping light the giant outdoor menorah on Country Club Road at 4:30 p.m. Then rejoice with the Avanim Rock Band, the Tucson Girls Chorus, Temple Emmanuel Youth and Teen Choirs, Rabbi Sam Kohan, and an array of great performers. Bring a menorah and six candles as we light up the night in a gorgeous finale that'll make this the most memorable Hanukkah celebration ever. The Hanukkah event is open to all. It's co-sponsored by KGUN 9 TV. If you want to join us for a great traditional brisket and latke dinner afterwards, call the Temple at 520-327-4501 and make a reservation with your credit card. Remember, the show is free, but call to come for dinner. That's Sunday, December 5th, beginning at 4:30 p.m. The Centennial Edition of the Greatest Hanukkah on Earth, 12, at Temple Emmanuel. Call 520-327-4501.
Whether a hurricane that renders thousands homeless or the death of a child, disasters great and small challenge the faith of the most devout and fuel the arguments of the bitterest cynic. No one has spoken to the challenge of maintaining faith, purpose, and meaning better than Rabbi Harold Kushner, author of the best-selling book on the problem of evil, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Temple Emmanuel is proud to invite everyone to hear Rabbi Kushner in a special program on Wednesday, December 15th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available at Temple Emmanuel by calling 327-4501. One of the most popular and important speakers in the world today, Rabbi Harold Kushner speaks to the heart of what it means to be human and how we can overcome adversity to flourish in all circumstances. Rabbi Kushner's new book, Conquering Fear, Living Boldly in an Uncertain World, has received rave reviews. For those who wish to become sponsors of this important event, there's a dinner before his talk by reservation only. Hear world-famous speaker and writer, Rabbi Harold Kushner, author of the book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, at Temple Emmanuel, 225 North Country Club Road, on Wednesday night, December 15th at 7:30 p.m. Call 327-4501 for tickets or for more information.
If you have a question, comment, compliment, or criticism, kvetch or kvel, please email us at twojewishradio@yahoo.com or call 520-327-4501 or visit our website at twojewishradio.com. You can also get CDs of past and present shows through the website or downloading us from there or from the Apple iTunes Store as very popular podcasts. Tonight, we'll celebrate the fifth night of Hanukkah, the wonderful festival of lights, filling our menorahs from right to left and lighting them from left to right. That is, adding candles to increase our joy every night of the holiday, but beginning the lighting with the new candle. There are many, many fine Hanukkah songs out there these days. They're not all, I have a little dreidel, I made it out of clay. And while many of these Hanukkah songs, the new ones anyway, are whimsical and even silly, some are beautiful, but it's time for a classic Hanukkah song, This is the prayer for Hanukkah Al Hanisim, for the wonders and miracles you wrought for our ancestors in this season in days long ago, as sung by opera star and cantor, the late Jan Pierce. That was Jan Pierce singing Al Hanisim for Hanukkah. We welcome a special guest this morning, Neil Goldberg, the creator, director, and producer of Cirque Dreams, an Orthodox Jew who has turned his creative impulses into a small entertainment empire. Neil grew up an observant Jew from Long Island, has created and runs a medley of Cirque Dreams shows, which perform throughout the world, including on Broadway. We'll be here in Tucson, December 10th through the 12th, performing for UA Presents with Cirque Dreams Illumination. Good morning, Neil. Happy Hanukkah. And just what kind of job is this for a nice Orthodox Jewish boy from Long Island?
God, if I had a dime for every time my parents said that to me growing up and still say it to me today. And, you know, I tell you, I remember my days. I went to the Hebrew Academy of Long Beach. That was the yeshiva that I went to. And I just remember those days of, you know, sitting in the classroom and rather than looking at the blackboard, looking out the window up into the sky and forming clouds and being called to parent-teacher conferences with my parents, always hearing about how much ability I have and I'm not reaching my full potential because I don't pay attention because I was a daydreamer. And I'm very fortunate and privileged to have been able to take my imagination and daydreams and turn it into a business and a brand of shows that are entertaining millions of people throughout the world.
Extraordinary. You know, this is a good season to talk about dreams. We've been reading the Torah portions about Joseph, sort of the ultimate dreamer. He got his dreams. You got yours in a different way. Tell us about this particular show, Cirque Dreams Illumination.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because particularly this one, I mean, there's been 15 Cirque Dreams shows that I've created since 1993 and five of them running simultaneously as we speak. But when I left the Hebrew Academy of Long Beach, which was through eighth grade, I then went to Hailai, which was a yeshiva in Far Rockaway. And every day on the bus, driving from Oceanside on Long Island, where I grew up, to Far Rockaway, we would always drive under an overpass where there were trains. The subway was riding over us. And I never would have imagined that that would come back to me later in my life as an image for where I wanted to create the setting of a show. And I remember always sitting on the bus, and it was early in the morning, and being under this bridge and the lights just sort of flickering from the shadows of the light coming through. And that's what I recreated with illumination. I used to look out this bus and life was illuminated to me in a different way than I think it was to the ordinary person. And that's what I try to represent in Cirque Dreams Illumination, illuminating life differently. So it's everyday ordinary people doing extraordinary things, and the stage setting is actually reminiscent of that memory I have driving to school as a youngster on this bus to yeshiva every day.
Wow, what a fantastic story. Cirque Dreams Illumination is through UA Presents, uapresents.org. You can call their box office also for tickets. Neil, thanks for joining us, and best of luck with all of your many shows.
It's my pleasure, and enjoy the rest of the holiday season.
You too. Chag Hanukkah Sameach.
Chag Sameach to you as well.
We welcome our maven on Israel, Guy Gelbart. Boker Tov, Chag Hanukkah Sameach. Happy Hanukkah, Guy.
Boker Tov, Hanukkah Sameach.
You know, I think there's two countries in the world in which Hanukkah is a major, major Jewish holiday. The United States and Israel. For the rest of the Jewish world, it's not as important. In Israel, when I used to live there, the big deal was the military victory of the few over the many. It reminded everybody of the IDF defeating all the Arab armies. But I guess it's changed a little in the last few years.
Well, yes, it has been changed. You know, still we do tell the story of the Maccabees, and kids do play with riddles, and we light the Chanukiah every night. But what has become more and more a main focus of the celebration is the kids' shows. like the Pestival, the Pestigal, and many singing shows for kids. And today, if you want to be considered a good parent, you need to take your kids to one of those shows or maybe to all of those shows, and they cost a fortune. So whenever Hanukkah comes by, you know, all the streets are full with commercials and advertisements for this festival heroes and this festival singers and all of those stuff. And that's become more and more a central theme for the Hanukkah celebration in Israel today.
So it's the commercialization of Hanukkah, but Israel style. Instead of lots and lots of presents, you have to take your kids to all the top dollar shows. Are they really sort of Jewish shows or just kind of fun kids shows? Do they emphasize the Hanukkah, or are they just kind of about the sort of things you can see from the Wiggles or somebody in America or in Australia or somewhere?
Well, that's an interesting question. I must say that they're not very Jewish-like in their theme, although the cafeteria always have souvganiyot.
Right, those fabulous Israeli deep-fried jelly donut-y things that are...
Yeah, like perfect. 300 calories each.
At least. I think 3,000 calories each. I actually think they were invented by cardiologists.
Yeah, but it's part of the celebration, you know, so you go to the show, and then you go home, you lit the candles, and you eat some latkes, and then after you're fooled with... a lot of music, a lot of souvenirs, a lot of latkes, then you can go to sleep.
Yes, easily. Maybe never wake up again. Thanks, Guy. We'll talk next week. A happy Hanukkah to you, to your wife, to your kids.
Happy Hanukkah. Thank you.
When we come back, we'll hear from our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price, and get the old Jewish joke of the week. We visit weekly with the outstanding restaurateur, Janos Weiler of Janos, the J-Bar, and Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails. Good morning, Janos.
Good morning, Rabbi.
The holiday season is nearly upon us. Well, upon us, actually. Great time for parties. Great time for gift certificates.
Yes, it is. So when you're thinking about gift certificates, we have gift certificates to Janos, J-Bar, Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails. We also have private party space at all of the restaurants. So if you're doing holiday entertaining, we've got several private party spaces available at Janos and J-Bar. And we're going to be doing our private parties downtown, upstairs, in Terry Etherton's gallery. Gorgeous space.
Beautiful spaces, great food, great gifts, great parties. What's the number to call?
Call us at 615-6100. Then you can go to any of the restaurants or go online at janos.com.
JANOS.com, best way to do it. See you there. Thanks, Janos.
Happy holidays, Rabbi.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reformed, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
We welcome our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price. Good morning, Tom, and Chag Chanukah Sameach.
Good morning, Rabbi, and happy Chanukah to you.
I've been interested recently in some of the urban legends, or I guess tour guide legends, I picked up somewhere along the way traveling. I was talking recently on Too Jewish about the walls of Jerusalem, which I was taught when I was 15 years old and in Israel for the first time, were designed by two Ottoman Empire architects for Suleiman the Magnificent, and they screwed up. They didn't include the city of David, the original city, and he executed them for their crime, but he couldn't rebuild the walls because they were built. Turns out to be complete hooey. His court architect built the walls, and they just didn't include the city of David, and nobody was killed for it. Are there other interesting sort of urban legends you pick up when you travel around about the Jewish world?
Well, you got less hooey than I did. My first time in Jerusalem in 1967, we were told that the walls were the original walls built by King David from the ancient city. So your guide came much closer to the truth. They were built by Suleiman the Magnificent, and like so much else in Israel, they're, you know, masterpieces of Ottoman architecture, Ottoman culture, you know, like we've talked
like,
about
like
before.
The top of the Kotel, for example.
Or, for that matter, the Israeli breakfast, you know, the much vaunted, famous Israeli breakfast that people make such a big deal about is only a big deal if you've never been anywhere else in the former Ottoman Empire, because whether you go in northern Greece or in Turkey or in Syria or Lebanon, you get exactly the same spread of, you know, 15 different types of yogurt, which differ slightly by their consistency or their percentage of fat or their percentage of salt, whatever. And the tomatoes, cucumbers, olives, the whole spread.
Fish.
And it's purely Ottoman. There's nothing right. Israeli about it. But, you know, that's another one of those legends, the Israeli breakfast. Yeah, and I think they abound both in terms of Jewish history and in terms of tour guides in general. Tour guides tend to take shortcuts. They tend to tell you what they think you will find interesting or what they think you want to hear, and not necessarily to bore you with the facts, which are sometimes less interesting and sometimes more interesting. You were mentioning something about Morocco before?
Yeah, when I was in Morocco, and this was on a trip with rabbis at a high level, we're meeting with government ministers and all kinds of stuff, and they told us there were originally had been 600,000 Jews in Morocco before they were permitted to leave, and now there were less than 4,000. But the statistics I've seen recently, and it can't be from natural reproduction, are no, it's probably more like 20,000 Jews in Morocco.
I think that's right. The 20,000 figure seems to be at least approximately correct. And the 600,000 figure, there may have been more at some point. You know, certainly there were 500,000, maybe closer to 1 million. So I don't think 600,000 is that far off. But, you know, there's an interesting thing with population politics. When you go to India, for example, as I did recently with a group from the University of Arizona, you were often told that 15% of the population is Muslim. Well, you know, the government in power for the past decade or so has been a Hindu nationalist party. Did I say the government in power? I meant the party in power.
It would be the government, yes.
The party in power, which forms the government in the sort of British system. And they have systematically found it in their interest to understate the percentage of the population that's Islamic, because you go to city after city and you learn that the percentage here is 28% or 32% or 23%. So then you find yourself asking, how does the percentage nationwide get down to 15%? And in fact, you know, that's something to make people comfortable, which is what I think tour guides often do. They want to make you comfortable.
Well, I'd like to look at a couple more of these next week. In the meantime, have a happy, healthy, and joyous Hanukkah.
Same to you.
And now it's time for the old Jewish joke of the week. Jewish humor your Bubby and Zadie knew, brought to you by Too Jewish as a public service in these challenging financial times. The gabbai approaches a guest in shul and says to him, "It's our custom to invite those who are newcomers to come up to the Torah for an honor. I'd like to give you an aliyah. What's your Hebrew name?" "My name is Rivka Bas Tzvi, Rebecca, the daughter of Tzvi," replies the man. "No," says the gabbai, "I need your name, not your wife's name." But the man says, "It's Rivka Bas Tzvi." "I'm confused," says the gabbai. "How can that really be your name?" And the man answers, "I'm having some financial problems and everything, and I mean everything, has been put in my wife's name." That was the old Jewish joke of the week, special feature of Too Jewish just for you. You should live and be well. That reminds me of another favorite joke of mine, an end-of-the-year joke would be appropriate. The IRS calls Rabbi Levine. The phone rings. "This is Rabbi Levine. Rabbi Levine, this is the IRS. Did Mr. Goldberg, Mr. Benjamin Goldberg, give $1 million to the shul?" There's a long pause. Rabbi Levine says, "He will." That was a bonus for you, just for Hanukkah, an extra joke. And now a word of Torah. This week we reach the climax of the great story of Joseph, which fills most of the last 5 weekly portions of the book of Genesis. As we begin this great portion of Vayigash, Joseph has risen to the position of number 2 man in all of Egypt. He has become, in Yiddish, what we call a poritz, an important man, a macher, a guy who has assimilated and taken on a role that few Jews have ever held. As my father, Rabbi and cantor Baruch Kohan's song, tells it,
Yosef Avinu is in Mitzrayim a poritz geworden. Translation: little Joe, he made it big in Egypt.
Translation. His old brothers didn't know him anymore. They didn't dig him anymore.
Why didn't they know him?
Er ist gestanden in der Mitte. Ois wie Aporis und er rett wie Aporis. Unser Josele ist uns erwartet mit. Translation. He looked like Aporis and he talked like Aporis in a language that his brothers didn't know. He looked like Aporis and he talked like Aporis. That couldn't be our little Joe.
Joseph's brothers, who had earlier sold him into slavery and don't know that he has come way up in the world since then, are down in Egypt because food is short in Canaan. But as the song continues,
hat sie gekannt und sie haben ihn nicht gekannt. He knew them and they didn't know him. But now listen, how could they possibly know it? I mean, here he was with the beard shaved off in this beautiful penthouse completely overlooking the Nile. Elegantly furnished in early on Gipachkin. And between him and them are standing the aristocrats and the big shots and the interpreters. And besides, like I told you before, Are you ready? He looked like a porridge and he talked like a porridge in a language that his brothers didn't know. He looked like a porridge and he talked like a porridge. That couldn't be our little Joe. Finally, Joe himself couldn't stand it anymore. He said, send them all out. All the aristocrats, the big shots, the inter, send them all out. And he faced his brothers directly, and he spoke to them for the first time in Hebrew. And he said to them, Ani Yosef. Translation, Ich bin Yosef. Adavi Chai. He said, is my father still alive? They looked at him, and they looked at each other, and they said, it can't be, but it is. Yes, this is our brother. They said, yes, you have a father, you have a family, you have an identity. Yes, they said, we know you now because you're speaking our language, of course.
In other words, Joseph comes to recognize that he has to affirm his Jewish identity. He has brothers, a father, an existence beyond his job and his own assimilated identity. He is a Jew, and that matters deeply and profoundly. That is the essential meaning of this Torah portion of Vayigash. It is why we are here and why our lives truly matter. When we come back on Two Jewish in a few moments, the famed rabbi, speaker, and writer Harold Kushner, author of When Bad Things Happen to Good People, who knows quite a bit about why our lives matter, will tell us how to conquer fear.
When you're looking to buy or sell your home, you probably want Tucson's best realtor on your side. That realtor is Jill Rich. As real estate values change, it's comforting to know that Jill Rich knows Tucson's real estate landscape. She follows the trends. She knows the neighborhoods. She even knows how to help you find financing. But most importantly, Jill cares. It doesn't matter if you're looking for a starter home or a castle. It's like having your bubby in the realty business. For sellers, Jill will develop a personal marketing program that'll sell your house fast. There's no one who knows Tucson real estate better. You can reach Jill Rich at Long Realty's River and Campbell office. Call 349-0174. Jill Rich, providing strong representation in a caring way. Call 349-0174.
UA Presents invites you to join a journey of fascination December 10th to 12th at Cirque Dreams Illumination. Audiences of all ages will be dazzled with imagination, suspense, daring acrobatics, and theatrical innovation as performers reinvent familiar objects, balance on wires, and leap tall buildings in spectacular costumes, all set to an original score featuring jazz, pop, and ballroom music. Tickets are available by calling the UA Presents box office 621-3341 or online at uapresents.org. The amazing Cirque Dreams Illumination at UA Presents 621-3341 or online at uapresents.org.
We continue with our Two Jewish Update on news of Jews around the world with commentary.
In the worst forest fire in Israel's history, at least 40 people have been killed. Hundreds of firefighters and military personnel have been battling the fire, which has burned out of control in the hills above the beautiful Mediterranean port of Haifa. Many countries have mobilized and sent assistance to Israel to assist in this terrible natural disaster. Severe drought has certainly fueled this unbelievable conflagration. Tens of thousands of people have been evacuated from the towns and villages in part of the city of Haifa as well. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said on a visit to the scene that Israel has suffered a disaster on a scale we have never seen before. We are harnessing all the forces of the state to deal with this and rescue those who are injured and stop the fire. The Israeli Prison Service said the bus carrying prison guards was trying to help with the evacuation of a nearby prison when the fast-moving fire overwhelmed it, killing everyone. It was a difficult, sad, and incomprehensible day. The bus had no chance, a spokesman said. They tried to escape but were burned alive. It was horrific. If you want to help Israel respond to this terrible disaster, you can go to www.jnf.org, the Jewish National Fund's website, to help, at the very least, in rebuilding the forests after the fire is out. In the wake of attacks on two Indiana University Jewish centers, there have been three more attacks on other Jewish targets on the Bloomington campus, including desecrating Sidurim and other sacred texts. Last week, a rock went through the window of an apartment above the Chabad Jewish Student Center, just off the university campus, nearly hitting a student and putting a hole in the opposite wall. Oddly, only four non-Jewish students live in that Chabad-owned apartment. Less than an hour later, another rock was thrown at the staff directory glass display case for the Jewish Studies program, causing damage. And earlier last week, eight volumes of religious works in Hebrew were removed from the shelves at a University of Indiana library, left in eight different bathrooms in the area of the library, and urinated on. Although no students have approached his office, Dean of Students Pete Goldsmith of Indiana said he and his office are reaching out to the Jewish community and offering support. It's something that shouldn't happen in the IU community, he said. It's a place of tolerance. The FBI has been brought into the case since it appears to be a hate crime. No kidding. Bloomington police reportedly have a description of a suspect, allegedly seen at the site of the incidents, a male with a beard between the ages of 40 and 50. I'm a male with a beard between the ages of 40 and 50, but I've not been in Indiana in a long time. Anyway, proving they are not to be intimidated, the rock thrown through the window of the IU Chabad house is now part of the foundation of that Jewish student center's new 12-foot menorah. Good work. In the Southern Hemisphere, a controversial ban on kosher slaughter by New Zealand's agriculture minister has been partially reversed amid allegations his decision was taken to appease Muslim countries that have lucrative trade relations with New Zealand. The reversal marked only a partial victory for the Jewish community. While the ban on kosher slaughter of poultry was suspended, they can get chicken, and a deal on kosher lamb is still being negotiated. After all, this is New Zealand. The ban on beef will remain in place. That means kosher beef will have to be imported from Australia. The Palestinian Authority reportedly removed a paper from its website that denies any Jewish connection to the Kotel, the Western Wall. Its author, Al-Mutawakil Taha, a civil servant in the Information Ministry of the Palestinian Authority, stands by his report, which says that the Western Wall was never part of the Temple Mount complex in Jerusalem. This wall was never part of the so-called Temple Mount, but Muslim tolerance allowed the Jews to stand in front of it and weep over its destruction, he wrote. The paper was condemned throughout the world, prominently by the Obama administration last week. Earlier last week, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu denounced the claim. As U.S. State Department spokesman P.J. Crowley said, regarding a claim by a senior Palestinian official of the Western Wall as an Islamic waqif, we strongly condemn these comments and fully reject them as factually incorrect, insensitive, and highly provocative. We have repeatedly raised with the Palestinian Authority leadership the need to consistently combat all forms of delegitimization of Israel, including denying historic Jewish connections to the land. The Western Wall's origins as the outer wall of the Jewish Second Temple are profoundly grounded in archaeological evidence and in contemporary descriptions. And that's the news of Jews around the world. We welcome back our outstanding guest, Rabbi Harold Kushner. He's the author of the new book, Conquering Fear, Living Boldly in an Uncertain World. Also, best known perhaps for the book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, the international bestseller that addressed the most painful question, theodicy, why do bad things happen to good people? Why does evil exist? He's written a number of other books that have helped people and influenced people. How Good Do We Have to Be? Living a Life That Matters, the book L'Chaim, a total of 12 books. Tell me something. When you wrote When Bad Things Happen to Good People, you were dealing with your own family tragedy, the death of your son through early aging disease. Did you think it would be some great national, international bestseller?
Rabbi Cohen, I still don't believe it.
You're so Jewish.
No, it still astonishes me. I thought, by the way, the book was turned down by two commercial publishers, so if you have any aspiring writers in your audience there in Tucson, keep on hoping. It astonishes me that non-Jews, Christians read the book. I got a call just last week from a neighbor that her nephew is being asked to read, is assigned to read the book in a class in his Catholic parochial school. I ran into a local minister in the coffee shop this morning, and he told me that people come up to him and talk to him about how helpful the book has been all the time. No, I am utterly astonished by it.
Your book was designated by the Book of the Month Club as one of the 10 most influential books ever written, you know, right there with the Bible. This is sort of stunning. How does your family feel about that?
Oh, they're wonderful. They make sure my head doesn't get too swollen with pride. They keep reminding me of that, joking about it. Trying to wonder if, some other book has come along in the intervening years to bump me off the list.
Yeah, now you're 11 and, you know, it doesn't count.
I know, it's just not the same.
In your book, Conquering Fear, the new book, you address, you know, I think you do something that we congregational rabbis really wish we could accomplish, which is to capture the current spirit and address it in a way that really solves problems for people or helps people solve their own problems. Do you sort of feel that you got that sort of that charge from the daily grind of congregational work?
Oh, there's no question I did, of course. That's how I know what's bothering people, where the shoe pinches, what they're looking for. And that's where I formed the discipline of connecting the Jewish tradition's answers to people's questions. And I put that in my book. I could never have done this without listening to people's anguish, listening to their questions, to their complaints. I would never have done this without having made some mistakes in counseling them before I finally found out what worked. For example, when someone is rejected in a romantic relationship or fired from his job, it took me years to figure out that the answer is, first, don't let other people tell you how to think about yourself. Don't let them define your self-image. Sometimes smart people get it wrong. And secondly, don't try and deal with this alone when the world reflects back to you a message that you have nothing to offer. Surround yourself with people who will reflect back a very different message to you. Whether you're bereaved and sitting Shiva, whether you're newly divorced, or whether some significant other has broken up with you, whether you've just been fired, the temptation is to go home, draw the shades, and feel sorry for yourself. No, you need to be with other people who will hold your hand and hug you and dry your tears and say, I don't know what those people saw in you. We see you as somebody with a lot to give.
So do you think we'll ever come to a time when Jews aren't looking for the next trouble to reflect on?
You know, the definition of a Jewish telegram, letter follows, start worrying now. No, I think there's always a level of apprehensiveness. our history has been too bloodstained for us to leave it behind. And even Jews who don't know the details of Jewish history, I think they've caught the flavor of it.
You know, the question that seems to be running around now in the Jewish world is, are we being loved to death? Are Jews going to just disappear into America? We're the most popular religious minority for other people to try to marry, according to all the dating websites. Is that your next book?
If I had an answer for it, it would be. No, this is a phenomenon. I spoke about that recently. The congregation I used to serve in Massachusetts was founded in 1945, part of the Suburban Outreach. We were celebrating our 65th anniversary earlier this year. They asked me to talk, be one of the speakers at the festival occasion. I took as my title the significance of the year 1945 in American Jewish history. And I thought I could get away with saying there was nothing terribly significant about 1945, but I realized that's a watershed. Before the war, Jews were a, not despised, but suspect minority. People didn't trust us. Terrible anti-Semitism. President Roosevelt, with the best will in the world, could not open the gates to admit more refugees from Hitler because people wouldn't stand for it. We were running 30% unemployment. After 1945, being Jewish was in. People were reading Saul Bellow, Philip Roth, Herman Wouk. Jewish movie stars for the first time did not have to change their names. I think one of the signal Jewish events of this past year was Chelsea Clinton's wedding to Mark Mizvinsky. First, it marked the acceptability of a past president's daughter marrying a boy from a Jewish family. And in such a Jewish wedding with a yarmulke and a chuppah and a ketubah, I'd love to see the ketubah, if only the Jewish marriage certificate, if only to find out what Chelsea's Hebrew name is.
I want to thank Rabbi Harold Kushner for a wonderful visit on Too Jewish. He'll be here in Tucson on the 15th of December. We're very much looking forward to welcoming him. And I just wanted to ask one last question. What would be your one piece of advice you would give to someone who came to you without knowing the content of their suffering?
Don't blame God. Turn to God for support. He's on your side. And surround yourself with people to hold your hand. Don't face it alone.
Thank you. It's beautiful. I want to thank Rabbi Harold Kushner for a great visit here on Too Jewish. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure visiting with you on the radio. I look forward to being with you in person. Goodbye.
Thank you. When we come back, we'll hear about next week's guest, get a final musical play out.
Whether a hurricane that renders thousands homeless or the death of a child, disasters great and small challenge the faith of the most devout and fuel the arguments of the bitterest cynic. No one has spoken to the challenge of maintaining faith, purpose, and meaning better than Rabbi Harold Kushner, author of the best-selling book on the problem of evil, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Temple Emmanuel is proud to invite everyone to hear Rabbi Kushner in a special program on Wednesday, December 15th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available at Temple Emmanuel by calling 327-4501. One of the most popular and important speakers in the world today, Rabbi Harold Kushner speaks to the heart of what it means to be human and how we can overcome adversity to flourish in all circumstances. Rabbi Kushner's new book, Conquering Fear, Living Boldly in an Uncertain World, has received rave reviews. For those who wish to become sponsors of this important event, there's a dinner before his talk by reservation only. Hear world-famous speaker and writer, Rabbi Harold Kushner, author of the book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, at Temple Emmanuel, 225 North Country Club Road, on Wednesday night, December 15th at 7:30 p.m. Call 327-4501 for tickets or for more information.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
Thanks for being here with us this morning on Too Jewish with me, Rabbi Sam Kohan. Next week, our guest will be the outstanding military expert and analyst from the Jerusalem Post, Yaakov Katz, assessing Israel and the Middle East's current situation. Our playout this morning comes from Neil Diamond doing Adam Sandler's first version of his Hanukkah song. It's amazing what an actual singer sounds like doing a novelty tune as a real rock and roll number. My friends, have a Shavua Tov, a good week, a Chag Chanukah Sameach, a great holiday of Hanukkah, and a week, we pray, of peace.
There are so many beautiful Christmas songs around and so few Hanukkah songs. So I thought we'd try this one for you.
Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah, yeah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights. Instead of one day of presents, we have a crazy night. When you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's a list of people who are Jewish, just like you and me. David Lee Roth lights the menorah, so do James Concord Douglas and the late Dinah Shore. Guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Shanana and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish, Goldie Hawn is too. Put them both together, what a fine looking Jew. You don't have to deck the halls with jingle bell rock.
The preceding program was produced and paid for by Temple Emmanuel.